pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country, 2 minutes at a time, for the biggest stories of the day, where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 minute drill on the program.
Second half of the program begins right now as we head around the country, 2 minutes at a time, talking to the people, covering the stories where they're happening. It's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks, twinpeaksrestaurant.com. If you want a great spot to check out the games, you can do it right now. College basketball season in full bloom. Fights coming up, I think, this weekend. There's a UFC card coming up. If there's boxing or MMA, it is on. Your fight headquarters is Twin Peaks, Independence, Olathe, and in the Northland of the Boardwalk Shops. Just go to twinpeaksrestaurant.com. Let's see that great made-from-scratch menu. Happy hour means 29-degree man-sized draft beer. Premium cocktail served over ice balls. Curtis, you know about that. Of course, a great selection of bourbons and the tequilas as well. Go check it out. It's at Twin Peaks. Let's get the drill started as we broadcast live here at Jay Rieger and Co. Distillery. Listen, the official Chiefs watch party for this Sunday is right here. There's going to be great food and great drink specials with great drinks. That starts with Jay Rieger and Company. They're wonderful gins, vodkas. Of course, the official vodka of the Kansas City Chiefs is that Red Kingdom vodka. You can get it right here where we are. We're at their wonderful distillery, 2700 Gwinnett Ave. If you want to GPS it, it's in the historical Electric Park District. It took me 21 minutes from about 123rd and State Line. It is truly about as centrally located as you could be in this town. Just a few minutes from Westport. All the great different spots in here, whether you want to head upstairs and enjoy the Monogram Lounge, great open space, beautiful original hardwood floors, tons of windows, overlooks the distillery. It is great for dinner and cocktails. Also, you can check out the Hey Hey Club downstairs, like an old school 1920s speakeasy, intimate underground location. That is great. The tasting room, a casual space to grab a snack while you try all the wonderful products here. The Jay Rieger products are all available as well in the city, in bars and liquor retailers all over the city. So find it, whether it's your wonderful Kansas City whiskey, Red Kingdom vodka, gin, the Cafe Amaro. They're absolutely fantastic. You can pick them up today and very soon be outside again. The Electric Park Garden Bar, one of Kansas City's most unique spots. 7,500 square feet of fire pits, green space, pergola, even a swing set chair, plus delicious elevated street food from their food truck. It is a great spot. You can basically bar hop all in one location and even ride the slide, as we just had children of all ages riding the slide as it takes you out. It's about probably about a three-story slide that you can bring down, and it is great fun. So come on down and see us. We're here again. It's 2700 Gwinnett Ave. If you want to look them up online, and if you want to get your tickets for the official Chiefs watch party, that's online. Just go to their great website, beautiful website, jriegerco.com. Rieger is R-I-E-G-E-R, if you're spelling challenged like I am, jriegerco.com. And right there on the front, below the first banner of different drop-down menus, it says official watch party of Kansas City Chiefs tickets available now. Click right there, and you can get your tickets for this weekend. All right, let's get the drill going. We're going to start things off in New York City. Why wouldn't you start in New York? Dan Schwartzman, D Sports Media, is there. Dan, how are you, sir?
Great, Saran. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm at one of my favorite places in Kansas City, surrounded by spirits, you know, and great food, too, by the way. So what more could a man want? You no longer will have to answer questions after today about Kyrie Irving from me. This is the obvious, most logical outcome that was always going to happen, is it not?
No, absolutely. And I would come over and visit and have some spirits with you to celebrate finally Kyrie Irving getting the heck out of New York, because it couldn't have happened any sooner. And good riddance. I hope people kick him in the rear on the way out, because that guy was ungrateful. He was controversial, selfish, did nothing to help the team, is a disaster. Good riddance, and good luck in Dallas is all I can say.
Yeah, it is. I mean, are you like me? I'm stunned they found a taker. Like, I mean, there's a sucker born every minute, we were told a long time ago. And I hate to say it, but Mark Cuban seems like that sucker, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's desperate, all right? Yeah, you know, he knows he's got gold with Luka, and he knows they're not going anywhere unless they can find a way to surround him with some talent. maybe they should have kept Jalen Brunson, huh? You know, maybe that would have been the way to go. He's been nothing but a model player for the Knicks. He's had a very good season for New York. It's one of those few bright spots the Knicks have had in recent years. And I'll tell you what it is, 27 points a game talk. And regardless of all the baggage, regardless of the fact that, you know, Kyrie's history is that he's not a team player. Outside of winning in Cleveland in, what, 2016, thank you, LeBron, you know, what's he won? He's gotten himself kicked out of every city he's gone to after that, right? Boston was supposed to be the great opportunity, good riddance. You know, New York was supposed to be it. He's a Jersey guy from literally right across the river from Manhattan. And he screwed this one up. The guy's never happy anywhere he goes. So is it circumstance or is it him? I think he's got to look in the mirror at this point. And you're right. A sucker's born every minute. And this one is named Mark Cuban.
Is this it or are there more moves? Are they going to spin this into something else to try to put even more around Kevin Durant for a run this year? Or is Kevin Durant the next one to put his hand up and say, I want out?
No, because look, Durant's under contract for years, right? Durant really has no bargaining power. Kyrie is a free agent at the end of this year. And the Nets were not going to give him a contract and bring him back. So they had to get rid of him, right? Joe Tsai wasn't going to put up with this nonsense. Durant, on the other hand, is a better player. And truth be told, as much as he wanted out, reality is, since coming back, he's handled it well, right? He hasn't really said anything bad. When he played, they were winning games. Now, he's been banged up here and there, no question about it. But he has no bargaining position because he's got, what, 4 years left on that current deal. So Kevin Durant might hem and haw this offseason, but he really has nowhere else he can go unless the Nets want to trade him, and they don't. That said, though, yes, I do believe they will make another move. They will use draft picks. They will use whatever they can, and they will try to surround Kevin Durant with some decent talent because he himself, obviously, is a great player, Seren. So do you need superstars? Maybe not. If you get the right role players, great, you know, good players, they don't really help that team. And Ben Simmons at some point has to wake up, you would think.
Yeah, you would think. Where is Jacques Vaughn's popularity? He was Mr. Popular initially as the Nets seemed to find some traction under his watch. Has he suffered during this time lately with the Nets?
No, not at all. And here's why. You know, how much blame do you really put on Jacques Vaughn? He can only do so much. I'll tell you why he's done a nice job. When Steve Nash was here, you know, it seemed that Steve Nash was not in control of his team. The players ran the show. You could question X's and O's with Steve Nash, who just was in over his head as a head coach. Should have never gotten that job. With Jacques Vaughn, you don't get that. You don't hear about players kind of going over him. You don't hear about players not respecting him. You don't really hear about X's and O's being an issue. So I think Jacques Vaughn's done a good job considering that he's had a lot of off-the-field type of issues that he's had to deal with. And I think the guy has done nothing but really the best he can. So you're not hearing any complaints in New York when it comes to Jacques Vaughn. In fact, you're not hearing much about him because Kyrie Irving has been the one that's kind of had the spotlight shining on him in Brooklyn.
Do the Knicks do anything before Thursday's deadline?
Ooh, I think they look to. They've, you know, stockpiled a bunch of first-round draft picks. If they could somehow deal R.J. Barrett, who's, to me, just a guy. I mean, nothing special. If you can deal R.J. Barrett and a couple of picks and get somebody, then maybe you think about it. But I think the Knicks will look to do something. I don't think they will in the end because I don't think they have pieces that they're willing to trade right now to make that kind of move.
Dan Schwartzman in New York City. Great stuff as always, my friend. We really appreciate it. Have yourself a great week.
Have a spirit for me, my friend.
Reginald Adatula in Dallas, Texas. 105.3 The Fan is next. Reginald, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm living. How are you guys doing in KC?
Doing very good. And listen, I get what the Mavericks are doing, but I wouldn't do it if I were them. I understand they're trying to put another star next to him, but these don't seem to fit. These are two guys that love to dominate the ball. How is this going to work?
I think there's something to be said for the idea that there's been a necessity to dominate the ball for Luka Doncic. He's an incredible passer, and Kyrie Irving, while he is best suited probably on ball, we've seen him play off ball at times, including the, of course, ill-fated playing with James Harden. We've seen him play off ball, and I think that's capable of happening. But ultimately, man, this was just a desperation move from an organization that has been, one, chasing stars for a long time, but two, also is getting to that time in the window of a young superstar where it's like, hey man, you got to put up or shut up. And ultimately, this was the opportunity to get a big fish with what they had available to them.
See, I mean, I feel like Luka's their guy that, like, they're the team that can I mean, he's not 30. He's, you know, he's a young guy. It seems to me like they've got plenty of time that they don't have to just jump at a deal. Do they think that this deal, what is it, a 27 first and a 28 and 27 second, I think, in addition to the two players, I mean, are they going to be okay, first of all, if Kyrie Irving ends up getting sideways with them and wants to walk away and they basically just rented him for a few months?
Okay, so I believe that that's actually a 29 first, and maybe I'm remembering this. But that one puts it further out, and now they're in a place where they still have some first-round picks within that time between 24 and 29 to mess with and maybe make a bigger deal. But, no, I hear that question, and that's fair, right? The fact of the matter, though, is because of Kyrie Irving's big salary, if he does, in fact, want to walk away in the summer, that does create damn near a max slot for you in the summer. Now, obviously, there's not a lot of free agents out there, but now you have some room if something shakes. Also, something that Brian Scalabrine made note of that I thought was a very good point was there's also not a lot of teams out there with salary space to go and sign Kyrie Irving if he wants to move somewhere. You might be in a place to facilitate a sign and trade in the summers where you can still get something back. So in some ways, how the Mavs moved on from Kristaps Porzingis and ended up with Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans and made one bad contract into two, this could also still be a asset of some sort if you end up in a sign and trade situation where you don't entirely lose him for nothing.
Yeah, that's all right. That's good to know. That does make a little bit more sense on why they would be willing just to clear the cap space to go after some other big name free agent that's there. All right, is Luka driving this? I mean, he, you know, the reports were that he didn't like Kristaps Porzingis. Kristaps Porzingis isn't there anymore. Is this him saying, get me somebody, and that's what the team is doing, or is this solely basketball ops making this decision?
A little bit of both. I think this is absolutely basketball ops leading this. However, Luka Doncic, it was definitely run by him, and he gave the okay on this. It's something we talked about a little bit locally, is the idea of Luka finding that superstar voice, of course, in the age of player empowerment. But he hasn't seemed to want to be in the driver's seat in commanding some of these decisions like his idol LeBron James in some ways. But he has definitely come into his own where the organization understands that objective number one in the next 3-4 years of this organization is making sure Luka is happy. So, of course, something of this magnitude had to be run by him, and it seems like he gave the all clear, even when knowing that he's enjoyed playing next to Spencer Dinwiddie and that Dorian Finney-Smith is one of his good guys.
Just real quick, tell me, does it work in your mind? What's your gut tell you? Does it work?
Oh, man. Best case scenario, yeah. Like, those are two incredible players. You've got a guy who consistently scores over 30, and then Kyrie, who this season has dropped 27 a night. Those are really great pieces to have together, and it's easily the best backcourt in the league, and for my money. The problem is, best case scenario is, one, not a plan, and two, not a reasonable thing to assume with Kyrie Irving. So, unfortunately, I think ultimately we'll see no, but it's one of those things where scare money don't make none, and you have to take the shot, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, Brian Schottenheimer in as the offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys. Like or dislike the move?
Rather indifferent. I know it's not a fun answer. However, ultimately, it's going to be Mike McCarthy's offense calling the plays. Schottenheimer basically exists as an offensive assistant to put together the game plan that your head coach will call plays from on a Sunday. I think whatever they do, whether it's like the West Coast offense that McCarthy is known for, it will be his doing in some ways because, I mean, you've given Mike McCarthy the job, but he hasn't been the one play calling, and you brought him in for his expertise. So now it's an opportunity for him to put his pen to the paper, his stamp on the team in a way that's tangible for everybody to be able to see. And so ultimately it's his offense. Schottenheimer in there, I don't think is as much of a deal as we'd like to make of it. Of course, it's that time of year where we talk about these things. So, boom, big deal.
Yeah. All right. And finally, do they put an extension in front of Dak Prescott? Do they stay the course with him, or does he play into the final year of his deal?
Oh, yeah. No, they will further out the deal that he has right now. They will find a way to make the salary cap implications or ramifications, I should say, a little bit more tenable. Because if there's one thing that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys front office has done, is stated how committed they are to Dak Prescott. Even in the midst of a heated negotiation that we all had to talk about day in and day out a few years back, they still ended up giving him money, still ended up getting it done. They have made it clear that number 4 is their quarterback, and they will make sure that he is there as long as possible and under circumstances that allow them to try and team build around him.
All right. We'll see how it all comes together. Reginald Atitula, great stuff. Appreciate the time. Have yourself a great week.
Hey, you too.
Tulsa, Austin, Oklahoma City, Seattle.
Dave Softy-Mahler, 93.3 KJR in Seattle, Washington. Softy, how are you, brother?
What's happening, big boy? How are you, man?
Living the dream. I'm surrounded by spirits. Our wonderful Jay Rieger and Company, Kansas City Distillery, is making whiskey just feet from me, making vodka, making gin. There's great food all around me at multiple different restaurants within the facility. And then there's like this adult slide that's like three stories high right next to me. It doesn't get any better than this, Softy. I'm going to be honest with you. Does it get better than Geno Smith at quarterback? Or is the answer no, and we still feel like the extension is coming?
Well, first of all, did you say adult slide? Is that what you said, adult slide? Is that because when I hear the words adult slide, I think about like naked people sliding down a slide.
Well, I say adult to say that big people could, it's not just like a little kid slide.
I got you. Yeah, it's not safe for kids. Okay, I got you. Well, you got to.
It's
be,
safe.
Gotta
let me put it this way, Softy. It's safe for you now, and it's safe for the old softy that toted another 50, 80 pounds.
I got you. Well, back to Geno Smith, because we can get away from naked people sliding down slides and things like that. Look, I think they're going to re-sign him. Only question is for how much and for how long, because either way, they're going to get some kind of a bargain, right? They're going to probably front-load the contract, to be honest with you, so they're not eating up too much of the salary cap for the next maybe 3 or 4 years, and I could see a 2 or 3 year deal that's very team friendly, cap friendly for the Seahawks, and still see the Seahawks go out and draft a rookie quarterback or maybe sign a younger, youngish free agent, maybe make a move for somebody else and have Geno kind of take the reins for about a year or two. I mean, look, you can win with Geno Smith if you have an elite defense or a great offensive line or a phenomenal running game. You're not going to just win with Geno Smith, right? You're not going to go tell fans that, well, Geno Smith is our quarterback, and just like Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, he's going to make everybody around him better. That's not what Geno Smith is all about. Geno Smith is a middle to above average quarterback in the NFL who, if you can count on your defense to keep you in every game, and you can count on your offensive line to open up holes and run the damn ball, Geno Smith can manage the offense enough where you can be sure that he's not going to ruin things. And that's what Geno Smith did a year ago. He didn't ruin things for the Seahawks. The problem with the Seahawks in the end, Soren, wasn't Geno Smith. The problem was their inconsistent run game, and the problem was their inconsistent defense. That's why they went 9-8 and lost in the first round, not because of Geno Smith.
All right. So what do they do with these draft picks to try to improve the team?
Well, they got to fix the offensive and defensive line, period. I mean, we're still looking for a center. I mean, the center that should be playing for the Seahawks is playing for you guys right now. But instead, the Seahawks 2 years ago decided to draft a toy by the name of Dee Eskridge, and he's done jack squat for them since he showed up here. Meantime, Creed Humphrey is one of the best young offensive linemen in the entire NFL. So you need an offensive line interior. You need two guards and a center. You need another edge rusher. You need another defensive tackle. And you need a linebacker to complement Jordan Brooks. Everything this football team does over the offseason should have a heavy focus on the line of scrimmage on offense and the front seven on defense, period. End of story.
Yeah, and it's a great story, and watching Geno Smith at the reimagined Pro Bowl was quite entertaining, I'll be honest with you. I think it's a great story to see him turn around and play this well and be that veteran guy late in his career. The modern, he hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl yet, but the modern Rich Gannon is a lot of fun. And I'm a Pete Carroll fan, so it's nice to see the Seahawks be relevant. The Kraken, first in the Pacific. Yep. How did this happen so fast?
Coaching, man, coaching. And they fixed their goaltending problems from a year ago. They went out and got Martin Jones. And last year they had Drew Bauer and Chris Drieger, and they just were not getting the job done in net. So they made a move over the offseason and picked up Marty Jones, and he's been consistent in net. I mean, look, this is the Pacific Division leading Kraken who did not have one all-star because Matty Beniers got knocked on his ass by Tyler Myers of the Canucks 2 weeks ago and had a concussion, and so he had to miss the game. So think about that. The first-place team in the Pacific did not have a freaking all-star at the game over the weekend because they only had one and that guy got hurt. So you got to give Dave Hackstall some credit, man. You think about all the great coaches this year in the NHL, and Dave Hackstall definitely should be on that list. They just made the move for Jacob Megna from the Sharks because they need more physicality. This guy's 6'6", 225 pounds, and he will give them that. But this is the way hockey works, right? You can go from worst to first overnight. You can have immediate success in the National Hockey League. And you saw that with Vegas a couple years ago, and you're seeing it now with the Kraken. It's been pretty damn fun to watch.
Are the fans, eating it up? I mean, do you think this is, going to work long term?
Yeah, I think it will. I think the fans are still kind of waiting to jump on the wagon a little bit because ticket prices are always expensive in the NHL. I mean, if you want decent seats for a hockey game, you're paying $100, right? Simple, easy. I mean, that's kind of the market right now for the NHL. They thrive and survive and depend a lot more on the gate than any other sport out there. TV ratings for hockey have never been that great. As you know, across the country, they're not that great. They're kind of average right now in Seattle, but you're trying to build something and get fans to support a hockey team that still a lot of people don't know a lot about them as far as the stars go, and they have yet to even make a playoff run. So I think in April, Soren, when these guys make a playoff run, especially if they go deep into the postseason, the fans will jump on the wagon. This is not like a place like Tampa Bay where the Rays win baseball games. They play in the World Series, and nobody gives a damn. Seattle has proven, if anything, one thing, that if you win, you'll get support in this town, for sure.
Yeah, that's and will they get their NBA franchise? What's the word on when the NBA is coming back?
I think 2027 is the year you should be targeting. I think four years away. That arena in Vegas that Simlight Wiki is building is scheduled to break ground early in 2024. I think once that arena is built, you'll really start to hear some buzz for Vegas getting a basketball team. And the word I'm getting is the NBA wants to do it two at a time. They want to do the opposite of what the NHL did when they brought in Vegas one year and Seattle a couple of years later. I think the NBA wants to go from 30 to 32 overnight. And I think those two teams will be Seattle and Vegas. And I'm looking for 2027 when you're about 38 years old.
Softy in Seattle, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great week, my friend.
Have fun with your naked slide, man. See ya.
Ah, I feel good.
Local talk plus national headlines from the people who are there. The 2-Minute Drill on the program with Soren Petro on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz end of the hour answer. Who was the first team to score a 2-point conversion in the Super Bowl? Give you a hint, they scored two in that game.
Oh, boy. I know Carolina missed a whole bunch, so it was probably before Carolina losing to the Patriots back in the Jake Delhomme days. They got two, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Did they win or lose?
They lost. They were trying to come from way back.
And they got two. God, how far back does it go? Was it Chargers against the Niners or something?
You got it.
Yeah, I think I maybe heard that one before.
Alfred Papunu was actually the second. Mark Say got the first one. Former Chief Alfred Papunu the second.
How many times do you think it'd take Tim Grunhard to say that name correctly?
All of them.
Yeah.
Every of the times.
He probably started like in 1993, a week they were going to play the Chargers, and he hasn't finished trying yet.
He played with them. He probably didn't get it right while he was there.
I love it. That's fantastic.
My biggest memory of that Chargers group of players was watching Natron Means, and I always thought it'd be fun to be a linebacker. And then I watched Natron Means, and I was probably 6 years old, and I thought, you know what, maybe not so fun.
Oh, God, go watch Earl Campbell tape.
I thought you were going to say how many of them died young.
Yeah, that's a
weird story. Yeah. Have you seen that? Right, I'm sure you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like seven or eight players
like
off that.
Like a year or two later, one of them died in a plane crash.
One of them, yeah, car accident.
And then
it's one of the stranger phenomenons ever.
Yeah, it is. It is amazing. But by the way, just to lighten the mood,
that Niner team, by the way, wasn't losing to anyone that year. They were loaded. They were had gotten past. They were tired of losing to the Cowboys. They went out and got a bunch of guys on defense and picked up Dion. They're like, we're boat racing everyone, fellas. Get out of the way.
Yeah, I would agree. By the way, we're playing for great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Get that great Cajun food at the Legends or at 39th and Saline by the University of Kansas Health System. Great Cajun food at Jazz. Great live music. The best Cajun food around. It's at Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. You can find them online at jazzkitchen.com. Don't forget they cater as well very soon. The Legends location back to being your pre and post headquarters for sporting matches. Sporting Kansas City will be up and running again. They're in training camp right now. By the way, I just got a text from Tim. How'd you say the guy's name?
Papunu.
Papunu. He pronounced it manga.
Fantastic.
Remember, you could not get Josh Manga?
Yeah.
That's not even Josh hard. Manga's not hard.
Yeah.
Papunu. There's a couple of P's. That's a little harder, but
I think they initially started calling him Poopunu, and he's like, it's Papunu.
Yeah, it's Papunu. Yeah. By the way, we are at Jay Rieger and Company. Great, great spot. Come on down. Folks coming in for a little happy hour. You know, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, they got a great happy hour going 3 to 6. Their happy hour menu offers great, great food here at Jay Rieger and great drink specials as well. Best cocktail deals in town Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 6. You can come and join it now. But Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, they're going to be raffling off Jay Rieger merchandise as well as Chiefs gear at happy hour. You know, Jay Rieger is the official watch party for the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday, and the home of Red Kingdom Vodka, the official vodka of the Chiefs. So come on out and stock on up. 2700 Avenue, G-U-I-N-O-T-T-E, if you're going to GPS it. Really easy to get to. There are a couple of different routes. If you get caught by a train, just back up a little bit. Go another direction, and all of a sudden your GPS will reconfigure you getting here. It is a historic building with the distillery right here in the middle. Tours are a great idea. One of the tours just went by talking about all the history and everything that's kind of going back to the speakeasy days here.
Yes.
You can get more details at jrieger.co.com.
Both my brothers-in-law share January birthdays, and we combined their birthdays last year for a Jay Rieger tour because they're both big whiskey aficionados, and they were not disappointed at all with that choice for their birthday.
And that you mentioned the Hey Hey Club earlier. That isn't just named after like a time or a hip. It's actually named after a place that existed not far from there at 4th and Cherry. Back in the 20s and 30s, it was a place called the Hey Hey Club. It was H-E-Y, then H-A-Y. It was a jazz club. Count Basie played there. And they used to sit on hay bales. And the hay was then used to feed horses. It was amazing. It was a legendary place. And it was actually, there was a reference to it in the movie Kansas City. I think it was a Robert Altman movie.
Yeah.
And there's a reference to that. And the sign that's in that movie is there at the Hey Hey Club. It wasn't just a cute name. It's actually a historic place, a historic reference to KC.
Yeah, you can just head downstairs. It's fantastic. I mean, I love it. And I went down there just to look around. I love the atmosphere. And it really does feel like a 1920s, like, speakeasy mm-hmm. kind of place. Just super cool.
But you don't have to worry about getting whacked if you go now.
No whacking.
Right. You don't have to put your back to the wall.
No. It is a really cool place. That is the thing that, like, I found about it is, like, you come down here. You know, you can go wherever you want to go, right? You have, like, multiple destinations.
Yeah.
Like, the Monogram Lounge upstairs is really cool. It's an old – it's a great spot if you want to rent out, too, for companies. But, you know, you got a great spot downstairs. You got a great spot upstairs, you know, looking down into the distillery and everything. Outside, if you come down here in the spring and summer and fall, it's absolutely fantastic out there. Different food at each spot. You really can kind of bar hop your way. All through just one location, so it makes it great. So
one stop pub crawl.
Yeah, it's what it is. It really is. I mean, it's fantastic. So, and don't forget the watch party, $15, and you get a token. Good for 1J Rieger and Company cocktail, which is worth the price right there. They're going to open the doors at 4. You can get your tickets right now. Go to jrieger.co.com to get your tickets. Just $15, and it's going to be a great setup with the best drinks in town. The Rumble and Casey Wolf will be on site to get everything started. They're going to be throwing out all kinds of raffling off all kinds of Jay Rieger and Co. merchandise during each quarter. So come on down. It's first come, first serve, so I'd encourage you to get here right at 4, or maybe even a little bit before, so you can, you know, grab the seat you want. But listen, anywhere you sit is going to be a great spot. It's here at the Jay Rieger Company, and like I said, I live in the Southland. I was here in 20 minutes. It's about as centrally located as you could make a place. It's just a great, great spot, an iconic location here in Kansas City. I wanted to, where was I going to go?
You said you were going to make happy stuff.
Well, that was the...
Oh, that was happy stuff? Okay.
Manga. Manga was happy. Yeah, made me happy to, take a shot at Tim when he can't defend himself.
Yeah. Why not?
It's personally how I prefer to do it. I think it's the safest for our physical well-being when he's not around and can't really react. So that was that. But did you watch any of the Pro Bowl?
I did not. I don't know if I say or I regret to say. I saw the highlight where Tyreek Hill took a shot from Jalen Ramsey, who forgot it was flag football or just didn't care. That's the only part. I saw some of the skills competition stuff on Friday night.
Okay. Did you, Adam, take in any of the Pro Bowl festivities, the reimagined Pro Bowl festivities?
I did. Some of the last two flag football games I watched, because they play four of them? Is that how that worked?
Three.
Okay, so yeah, I watched the last two. I more just thought, I'll have it on while I'm throwing together the 2 minute drill as background noise. But I actually got a little more into it than I anticipated. It was, maybe low expectations led to me enjoying it more. But to me, the only all-star event in any sport that I personally see is appointment viewing. For whatever reason, I love the NBA Saturday night stuff with the dunk contest and the three-point. I know a lot of people don't love that, but I do. But I actually did. I found the Pro Bowl flag football, at the very least, fun. Not life-changing, but fun.
I had every intention to make sure to not watch anything. Wanted no part of watching it. And... we clicked around and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to watch that basketball game. I don't watch that. I'll put it on. I hate to say this. It wasn't that bad.
It was really good.
I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that far, but I, too, was kind of intrigued by the flag football. I'm like... I mentioned that when we were out last summer at an event. My daughter was had a competition, and we were at the USC campus. And my other daughter and I went walking around, and we stumbled onto the USC. Well, I mean, we know where it is. We've been there a number of times. But the USC practice field was open. People were going in and out. And it was a 7-on-7, like, AAU high school football event. And we sat and watched, and we had a ball. We watched it for over an hour, right? We had a ball and started out, got to know some of the parents that were there and started asking, finding out who the kids are. Like, the kid who's going to Boise this year to play quarterback was one quarterback. And this guy, it was a high level. They're like, yeah, these are the best teams. And, it was the best high schools around Southern California that were at this thing. And we had a lot of fun. And I was like, yeah, but, that was fun because I was like, these are kids and kind of finding out who the prospects are. 7-on-7's kind of fun to watch when you know who the guys are, and you're like, Davante Adams is wide open, and they gave you a lot of the Madden cam, which I love being able to see from behind the quarterback and watch him open up, and I'm like, dude, this zone sucks. Like, he's running right to that spot, and you're going to drop it in. Like, I did not want to like it. I tried to say it sucked, and I kept watching it, and I kept watching it, and I kept watching it. But now I'm like, well, did I blow it by not watching? I heard Lebo this morning saying he liked the balloon toss. Like water balloons, he had to catch water balloons. Like, they'd throw them, and he had to, soft as hands competition or something.
Something similar to that on Friday night. They were having people see how many footballs they could catch off the jugs gun.
Yeah.
You had to hold each one you caught and try to catch the next, and whoever was the last one standing won. And that was kind of fun.
I hate myself a little bit. I shouldn't. I don't know why, it can't just be a guilty pleasure, but I didn't think I was going to like it, and I ended up liking it.
And I saw another clip of long snappers playing tic-tac-toe.
Didn't work as well. It was intriguing because it was supposed to be long snappers, and it was long snappers, punters, and kickers, but the only ones who hit the target were the long snappers. Now, one of the punters and one of the kickers, like, hit just shy of it or hit a box that had already been hit. But basically, the AFC won because the long snapper hit three in a row. And I'm like, okay, you got to kind of make that a little bit, I could see like a kicking one being kind of cool. I was kind of intrigued by it, but they're like, I think they even realized, well, this kind of sucks, and they just did it as kind of like a highlight package. And but you know, I give them credit. They're at least coming up with an all-star weekend.
Yeah,
58,000 people were in there. 58,000.
Wow.
And it is the stars that you know from the NFL, and you know it's. I'll give the NFL credit. I'm happy to be critical, but that was better than I thought.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a tweet that I wondered. I didn't think of this myself, but it was an interesting thought. Is it because we're seeing them without pads, so we can further appreciate? It's not like we think they're you know scrum when they're in pads. We know how athletic they are. But the fact that they're not in pads, we can see even further how ungodly athletic these guys are. Was there something to that?
Yeah, I heard some people, some of the reaction was they love seeing the reaction from the players on their faces because you usually can't see their faces because they're behind face masks and everything. And so some people like that. You know, listen, I like the quarterback. I was busy. I don't know which night the quarterback throwing competition was where Derek Carr had his comment where he's like,
yeah.
You ever been that hot, Derek Carr? No, not here. You know, you ever been that hot in this stadium before? No, obviously not. That's why they're getting rid of me.
Oh my God.
That was a great line, but I do like quarterback skills competitions. So
oh, yeah, those were fun.
I there's an element I think I next year I need to just say, okay, you dumbass, you've tried to block it out. You bah humbug the old thing, which I try not to be the old guy who hates everything that's new. And then you ended up liking some of it. Why don't you try to watch all of it? And give it a shot. So there's a classic example of me not listening to myself, of people who hate every change immediately and don't give it a chance. I was that guy. And fortunately, just because I had a bunch of stuff to do yesterday afternoon, I was sitting there doing stuff in front of the TV, and I was like, okay, this is the best thing on. You know, I'll have it on for background noise. And damn if I didn't catch myself. You haven't done anything for 20 minutes. You've been sitting here watching this thing. You're watching flag football. And by the way, Peyton Manning getting pissed about the rules. I mean, he was pissed when he thought they called a rule wrong. You know, in classic NFL fashion, the officiating was trash.
Like
they had they had a college ref. And so, like, go get, you know, flag football refs that know all the rules. And they even at one point, like, Pat McAfee's like, I don't think the ref even knows what the rules are on this thing. So, you know, but hey, worst year, first year. It was good enough for me to give it a try next
year.
Yeah,
I'll give it a shot then.
Yeah, I'll give it a try.
Like
it ain't the Super Bowl, but
no.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah, and hopefully no Chiefs will be in it next year either.
Yes, that's the key. If we're not watching Chiefs, we'll always have a good attitude about it. All right, 913-3810-810. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're at J. Rieger. At least I'm at J. Rieger & Company. A great distillery right here in Kansas City in the historic Electric Park District. 2700 Gwinnett Ave. If you're going to GPS it, that's where we're located. They got basically four different restaurants. When the outdoor restaurants open, for you to come down and choose from, getting a tour. It's a great spot. And it is the official Chiefs Watch Party. It's happening Sunday. You can get your tickets, just $15. And that comes with a token, good for any J. Rieger cocktail. So come check that out. Just go to the website, jriegerco.com. And you can see right there on the middle of the screen towards the top where you can buy your tickets. Just $15 and you get a free cocktail with it. Come on, you can't beat it here at the historical J. Rieger & Company Distillery. Next hour, we're going to talk to Trent Green. We'll also get you the things you need to know, wrap things up with the kicker in the 5 o'clock hour, broadcasting live today at J. Rieger & Company Distillery. Just a great, great spot here in Kansas City. And, of course, a great spot for the official Chiefs Watch Party. It's going to be going on Sunday. Food and drink specials. The Rumble and Casey Wolf are going to be on site to get the party started. J. Rieger & Company merchandise and products are going to be raffled off during each quarter. Begins at 4, $15, but that comes with a J. Rieger & Company cocktail. That's right. You get a token good for that. First come, first serve on the seating, so you want to get down here early and get your seat as soon as you can. There's going to be tons of great seats, so yeah. But if you got a set spot, just want you to know, First come, first serve. And don't forget about happy hour coming up Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 6. They've got great food and drink specials going on. Plus, they're going to be giving away Jay Rieger merchandise as well. So come on out and enjoy great happy hour here at Jay Rieger & Company. I'm a little bit curious. We talk about experience. I looked this up. Curtis, do you know what the record is of starting quarterbacks in the Super Bowl that have experience against quarterbacks in the Super Bowl that don't have any Super Bowl experience?
I don't offhand.
I do. I think if my spreadsheet that I found when I was digging around is accurate, experienced quarterbacks, if there are 22 games that there's been an experience, because there's some that it's experienced against experienced and inexperienced against inexperienced. So if 22 of them have had, again, early on, a lot of guys had no experience, right, because they hadn't had that many Super Bowls. So if I told you there are 22 games, what would you say the experienced quarterback's record is?
13-9.
You want to take a shot at him? Want to play along at home?
I honestly, no, because I'm planning out the 5 o'clock hour, so I have no idea what you just said.
He's in there doing math. He briefly considered trying to suave his way through it and went, nah, I can't.
Honesty is truly the best policy, Adam.
He just turtled up with like a quarterback.
Well done.
Can I complete the pass? No, I'm done.
Pretty good guess.
Yeah, just
Curtis,
decided to take the sack on that one.
Yeah.
Live to fight another day.
That's right. Good call. You know, it would have been great if he goes, Kyrie Irving? Totally unrelated. Just take a shot. Pretty good guess at 13-9. 15-7.
Wow.
Patrick Mahomes is the experienced quarterback in this game. Jalen Hurts is not. And so that should bode well. You know,
yeah,
when Patrick Mahomes won his
Super
Bowl, it was inexperienced against inexperienced, no experience against none. When he lost it, it was two experienced quarterbacks. So he has not played into this stat yet, but this time he's the experienced quarterback, has been in a Super Bowl, and Jalen Hurts hasn't. So 15-7, I don't know what I take from that. I mean, experienced probably means you're on a pretty good team. Do I find that, like, Terry Bradshaw's got a couple, Joe Montana's got a couple? Yeah. You know, you go through there and you know,
how much of that's Brady?
Yeah. You know, John Elway against Mark Rippon, lost. You know, I mean, there are seven losses. 15-7 is a pretty good mark. I actually thought it might be even bigger when I started doing it, but that still speaks to experience being, I think, a factor. I think if we dug down, drilled down deeper, we might find a little bit more to it, but that's a good mark. If you're looking for numbers to throw around with your buddy, there's one for the Chiefs. Let it go.
All right, not counting New England Patriots, what player has played in the most Super Bowls? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.